Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we have continued in this place, trusting in your way, trusting in your word, preparing to hear from you, Lord, mold us and guide us. Take our broken rags, take everything that we are, Lord, mold it and make it as you would have it be. And that begins, that ends in you, Lord, in your guiding of your spirit and the working of your hands. Here, as we have lifted your songs, Lord, we did not seek to earn anything from you in return, for you are simply worthy of the worth. You are worthy of the praise that we give, the worship of our lives, of our songs. We are brought together. We were once people made, we were once far, but we've been made near by the blood of Christ. Let that truth resonate and sink deep within us. The truth of your word to mold us and make us into a people who are devoted, trusting, and obedient to you and your word. Father, as Ian comes forth this morning to lead us through this psalm, I pray we would be primed and receptive for the moving of your spirit. That you would prepare our ears and our eyes. That you would prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the food of your holy word. That we might in this time grow in faithfulness, grow in obedience, grow in trusting, grow in our adoration of you. For you have made us, Lord, a people. You have brought us together from the darkness of our past into the beautiful light of your word and of your will. I pray, Lord, that we would receive your word this morning and carry it out with us into this world. Father, we love you. We bless you in the name of Jesus and pray a dedication to your glory over this time. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. I just realized as I was walking up here, we never did a microphone check, so I thought I would give them a small opportunity this morning. I'm Ian. I'm one of the elders here. I was asked if I would like to preach, as I have for a few years here during the summer. And I know we're not quite at summer yet, but we're continuing our series in the Psalms. And I believe that David thinks it's humorous at this point to find the shortest psalm possible and see if I'm available for it. So Psalm 133 this morning, it's three verses. It is short, but it is not small. As I read this, and we'll read it here in just a moment, but think about like a family meal where everyone is actually together, not just sitting in the same room, not distracted, not tense, not divided, just truly together. I can think of a few times of that just growing up. There's conversation going on. There's laughter. People are listening. People are enjoying just one another. There's peace at the table. That's starting to sound like a prayer from my own mother there. That kind of moment is good. It's right. It reflects something healthy, something that's just wholesome. It's also pleasant. You feel it. You enjoy it. You want it to linger. You don't want it to end. Some things in life are good, but they're not pleasant. Discipline, hard conversations, medical treatment. Some things are pleasant, but they're not always good. Avoiding responsibility. Comfort without truth, or doing what feels easy instead of doing what is right. But Psalm 133 tells us that unity amongst God's people is both good and pleasant. So let's read this together. Psalm 133. How delightfully good when brothers live together in harmony. It is like fine oil on the head, running down on the beard, running down Aaron's beard onto his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon falling on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has appointed the blessing, life forevermore. And so again, very short psalm, but there's a lot going on here. David gives us a declaration, and he gives us two very descriptive images, and then he gives us one conclusion. Unity is good and pleasant. It's like oil running down Aaron's beard. We're going to talk about that in more detail, because that one seems a little bit odd. It's like dew falling from Hermon, which is a mountain in Jerusalem. And it's where the Lord has appointed the blessing of life forevermore. So as we go through this morning, there's a set of phrases I want us to remember. From high to low, from abundance to need, and from the source to the people. We're going to see that theme just repeated through this psalm. The oil is going to flow down. The dew is going to fall down. The blessing doesn't start from below. It starts from above. So when we go to looking at unity, it's worth noticing that many believe that this psalm is the setting when David is being crowned the king at Hebron. Now, Hebron and Hermon, don't get those two confused. We're going to talk about Hebron here for a moment. Israel had known division. It was conflict, tension between the different tribes, a lot of uncertainty. And David had already been king over Judah, but he had seen the division. He had seen the troubles that come with that and the heartache from that. And so at this point, Israel had not yet been united under him as king. But here the tribes are coming together around the king God had appointed, David. In 1 Chronicles, it's describing this event. All these warriors lined up in battle formation came to Hebron wholeheartedly, determined to make David king over all of Israel. All the rest of Israel was also of one mind to make David king. And so if you think about a group of people coming together that are wholeheartedly determined and of one mind, that brings some imagery to us. It's not shallow politeness. It's a unified movement. It's not just temporarily getting along. Experience that at home. I've got three children. I teach middle school. I see what temporary getting along looks like. And it's not just getting along just because it's convenient. This is people that are gathered around a shared purpose. And they're uniting and under the kingdom of God and under a king that God has appointed. There's another description of this in 2 Samuel. And I don't believe I've got this one to pull up. But the tribes of David, they come together and they say, "Here we are, your own flesh and blood." So this is not saying this is like a political movement or it's not just like an organization that's getting together. This was very relational. These were people that we are one. They recognized that they belong together. And so when we think about it that way, we have to see that there's this emotion behind this psalm. David has seen division, and he has felt what division is like. And it's almost like he despised it so much that when unity came, it was overwhelming. When God's people were fractured, he saw what was happening. There was sin. There were people that were just fighting over sometimes just nonsense. And so when he sees these tribes coming together, when he sees his brothers together in harmony, he's saying here, look at this. Don't rush past this. Savor this. This is good. This is pleasant. Let's not forget it. And so he doesn't just stop this psalm by saying, you know what's great? Unity. He took the time to write two more verses. And so we get to this image of oil running down Aaron. In verse 2, I'll repeat it here. It is like fine oil on the head, running down on the beard, running down Aaron's beard onto his robes. Now to us, oil running down a beard may sound strange, but to Israel, this was a very rich image. Aaron was not just a man with oil in his beard. Aaron was the high priest. And the oil was not any ordinary oil. The beard itself was not just an ordinary detail. The robe that's referenced here is not just ordinary clothing. Everything in this image is set apart. It's things that God has ordained to be set apart, to be holy. And so if we dive into what this really means, or what that means for it to be set apart, we start with the oil. The oil itself was commanded by God. In Exodus chapter 30, the Lord spoke to Moses, take for yourself the finest spices. Now, pay attention to the details, because this is like a recipe being read that seems off. 12.5 pounds of liquid myrrh, half as much, which would be 6.25 pounds, of fragrant cinnamon, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cane, 12.5 pounds of cassia, and 1 gallon of olive oil. Prepare for these a holy anointing oil, a scented blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be holy anointing oil. So this is not just like a few drops of like a lightly scented oil. It's not something we would put in a diffuser at the house to, you know, mask odor in the restroom or anything like that. This is very rich, very heavy, very fragrant, very costly, very carefully measured out. God gave the ingredients, he gave the proportions, he gave the purpose behind this recipe that's found in Scripture. There's a striking ratio here. That's 37.5 pounds of spices to 1 gallon of oil. Imagine making Kool-Aid like that. It'd be crunchy. All right, so this is going to have just an overwhelming amount of fragrance there. It would have been very weighty. It would have been memorable, very fragrant. It wouldn't have been thin. It wouldn't have been anything that was insignificant. All right, so sort of as a fun note, I went to look, how much would this cost if we were trying to do this recipe? Tens of thousands, depending on how much liquid myrrh cost, apparently. That's the one that's harder to find a price for. But that's not the point here. The point of this is not how costly it was. It was how rich and how valuable it was because of God ordaining it that way. It was set apart. And not only did he give this recipe and commanding this to be the oil that's for anointing, but he put a restriction on it. So if we continue in Exodus 30, it says, tell the Israelites, this will be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations. It must not be used for ordinary anointing on a person's body, and you must not make anything like it using its formula. It is holy, and it must be holy to you. Anyone who blends something like it or puts some of it on an unauthorized person must be cut off from his people. This was not just like a, hey, household mix. Let's share this recipe. Let's all try to make some. Let's anoint just whoever. This was very much a specific thing that was set apart. It was meant to be holy. And so David is, back in this, in Psalm 133, is using this anointing oil to describe unity into something that's very specific, not something just casual. A lot of times we hear about, we all need to get along, we all need to be united. This is getting into a detail of unity is coming from above. It's not merely getting along. Unity among God's people is sacred. It's something we should treat as precious. In Psalm 23, there's another mention of oil. It says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So it's not that the cup is barely filled. It is overflowing. That very valuable, rich, memorable, fragrant oil, it wasn't used sparingly. It was in a cup, and the cup is overflowing. It doesn't barely touch Aaron's head. It runs down. This image is of abundance. It's just almost an overwhelming experience. So again, we see this. It's from high to low. It's from an abundance to a need. We also see that there's a mention of Aaron's beard, and that detail is important. It's not just describing Aaron's appearance. In the culture of that day, the beard carried dignity and maturity and honor. And so the priest's visible appearance mattered. In Leviticus, there's this description. It says, priests may not make bald spots on their head. Some of us just have it naturally. It's not something we make. It just happens. There's no lights back here for a reason. Right? Shave the edge of their beards or make gashes on their bodies. And this was not because hair was magical or anything like that. It's because the visible appearance was to communicate holiness, to communicate an identity, separation from surrounding practices, separation from the other cultures that were around. In Leviticus, there's another broader instruction about not marring the beard. In Samuel, there's actually a reference to David's men had their beard shaved, and that was actually to humiliate them, because they would no longer be recognized as having that maturity and that dignity. And so Aaron's beard is not this throwaway detail here in this psalm. That oil is reaching what is visible. And so in that same way, unity becomes visible. As it's being poured down over us, it becomes very visible. It shows up in our speech. Shows up in our patience. Shows up in forgiveness and in service. How we handle disagreement. How we speak about people when they aren't present. Unity is not merely something that we claim to do or something we claim to have. It's something that can be seen. And so David continues to describe, now this oil has been poured on his head, now it's going through its beard. And think back again, it's 37 and a half pounds of spices and 1 gallon of oil. He is feeling every bit of this. Anyone that's watching it can see it. It's obvious what's happening. And now it's running onto his robes. And so the robe that Aaron would wear is again, it's not ordinary clothing. In Exodus, it's the robe is described and it's carefully commanded by God in great detail. It's to be made from blue yarn. It's to have an opening for the head, a woven collar, pomegranates around the hem and gold bells between them. So Aaron didn't design this. It was given to him. He didn't choose his own uniform. He did not invent his own role. He was clothed for a holy calling. And so when we look at this event of Aaron being anointed in Leviticus, it says he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed and consecrated him. Aaron was washed, clothed, anointed, consecrated. The oil reaching the robe means the consecration wasn't partial. It moved from his head to his beard to his robe. The whole image there is one of holiness, being set apart. So again, we look at this. Unity is nothing that's thin or shallow or casual. It saturates the life of God's people. I'm going to make a short plug for Vacation Bible School here. All right, a few years ago, the conclusion of Vacation Bible School, our youth leader, my good buddy here, Cameron, he was slimed. It was thick. It was slow. It ran down his head. It ran down his beard. It ran down on his t-shirt that he chose, not one that was ordained by God for him to wear that day. Now, Cameron's going to argue that it was probably neither good nor pleasant, but it was memorable. Those that were here, we remember exactly what that looked like. Now, if we would have just poured ice water on him instead, it would have splashed, it would have ran off quickly, it would have been over. But that slime, it lingered. Visually, I imagine from an odor standpoint, it probably had a smell to it. Still there. Never forget it. It slowly made its way down. Now imagine if that had been something that was holy and beautiful, like this anointing oil, a recipe that's given by God, not one that we probably found off of some website. How can we slam our youth leader? That oil didn't slowly disappear. It flowed slowly. It lingered. It saturated. David's giving us a picture here of a blessing that flows. It lingers. It changes what it touches. Unity changes what it touches. It is a gift from God from above, and it changes what it touches. Now, this first image that is given to us is one of worship, the anointing of the priest. But then David continues and gives us another picture, one of creation. He talks about the dew from Hermon. And so it's like the dew of Hermon falling on the mountains of Zion. This is some geographical imagery here. All right, Mount Hermon was in the north. It was very high, the highest peak in the area. Majestic, snow-capped, not something we think about when we think of Israel or Jerusalem. And that mountain was associated with moisture and water. Jerusalem was spiritually significant, but it was dry. It was arid. And so these snow-capped heights would have been a striking sight compared to the air conditions around Zion. It's this great contrast. And so this dew is not just merely like dampness, like we would think of dew on the ground. We walk through, you go take the trash out, you've got your socks on, they get a little damp. This was associated with snow, very heavy moisture, a water supply. The waters from that mountain helped feed the entire Jordan River system. And so as he's describing it, these pictures of a very refreshing moisture falling on Zion. All right, so it's not literally falling on Jerusalem, it's flowing from above to below. This is very poetic in how David's describing this. David is picturing a blessing that is going where a blessing is needed. Jerusalem is dry, it's arid, it needs water, it needs refreshment. And it's provided from above. It's just flowing down to them. There's an abundance. It seems to be snow-capped all the time. So it's continually flowing down. Notice it's the same movement as that oil. It runs down Aaron, head, beard, robe. The dew falls down from Hermon to Zion. From high to low, from abundance to need, from the source to the people. Thinking of abundance reaching need is something that sometimes seems like it's a, I don't know, like a perfect dream. If everywhere there was abundance and that abundance went to where the need was, all would be well. If we're thirsty and there's just an abundance of water available, that'd be great. The grass is dry and it rains just the right amount, that'd be great. If healing is needed and it's abundantly available and it goes to those that need it, life arriving where life is needed. David finishes this psalm with the last part of verse 3. For there the Lord has appointed the blessing, life forevermore. That word there, it matters. It's describing where brothers live together in harmony, where sacred oil or where refreshing dew points to us, where unity is present among God's people. That blessing is not accidental. The Lord has appointed it. Unity is not the source of life, but God is. The psalm says that unity is the place where God appoints blessing and where he appoints life. Disunity dries out relationships. Unity refreshes them. Disunity fractures the body. Unity allows blessing to flow. Disunity makes abundance feel scarce. Unity allows abundance to reach the need. David uses these images of oil and dew to tell one story, but those are vastly different images. That oil being thick and fragrant and sacred, moving very slow, dew, that refreshing, cooling, life-giving, it's connected to fruitfulness. Oil points to holiness, dew points to life. Oil flows over the priest, dew falls over the land. Both of those are saying that unity is a blessing from above, that it flows downward, and it changes what it touches. So when we're looking at how do we apply this short but beautiful psalm? So first, we have to receive unity as a gift from above. We can't manufacture unity. If it's something that is a gift from above, we can't make it. We can't do it by our personality or by our preferences or just any of our human effort. The oil is poured by God. The dew falls by God. The blessing is appointed by God. So that should make us ask, am I trying to create unity through control or through preference? Or am I receiving unity as a gift from God? There's a key distinction there. If we're trying to force unity, it seems like a one-sided unity isn't unity. So we need to keep that question in mind. Are we trying to create it or are we trying to receive it? Second, we need to protect unity as something that is sacred. We see this compared again to this holy sacred oil, the clothing, that whole priestly service of Aaron. This is nothing to be treated casually. Pride, gossip, bitterness, just being suspicious of others, selfish preference, unresolved conflict, all those things block the flow of that blessing. Are we treating unity as sacred, or are we treating it as something that is optional? Are we stopping the flow? Third, let unity flow towards need. Hermann de Zion gives us a picture of abundance reaching dryness. In our church, even just looking around this morning, you'll notice there are people that are missing. And there's lots of reasons for that. There are people that are here that we know of needs. We're going to have seasons of abundance where we're strong, we're encouraging, we feel stable. We feel like we're full of wisdom. We have resources. Our faith is just untouchable. But we're also going to have seasons of need where we're in grief. We're discouraged. We feel lonely. Maybe we feel spiritually dry and we need to be refreshed. Maybe we're just uncertain about what's going on. Unity allows blessing to move from one to another. And how great is that, that someone beside of you may have just an abundance that God has given them, that they could bless you with that. That God would use that as a blessing to someone who is struggling. And that it could be days, hours, years, decades later that's reciprocated. Not because we're trying to outdo one another, but because God has ordained it that way. And it's not a scoreboard to be kept. It is something God provided. Am I allowing what God has given me to refresh someone else? If your cup is overflowing, where is it overflowing to? On the same side of that, If you're in one of those times, that season where things are down, are you allowing others to let their abundance flow to you? Are you letting them know, I need something? Psalm 133 tells us that unity is both good and pleasant. It's like that sacred oil flowing, that thick, fragrant, memorable experience that Aaron had. We think about being in a dry, arid place. We think about dew coming down, flowing down, being refreshing, snowy water coming down. The Lord is appointing those blessings. And those last two words, the blessing is life forevermore. So let's remember, unity is not something that we're going to manufacture down here below. Unity is going to come from above. And when his blessings flows, it is going to bring life where life is needed. Let's pray. Lord Father, thank you for your blessings. We are so undeserving of how you provide for us. But we are so grateful. Lord, I know there's times where we're in need. And as a church that's united, you give us the means to abundantly meet those needs. And Lord, there's times where we're going to be blessed abundantly. And help us to see how we can use that abundance and not to try to hoard it up, not to try to save it, but to let it flow to those within the church that have those needs. Lord, continue to direct us, to guide us through your word. Let us just be humbled by how great you are. Just be in awe of you. Lord, as we leave here, just be magnified. Remind us of how great you are. Remind us of that gift of unity and to put aside anything that's stopping that flow. Turn those things over to you and let unity just flow freely from you throughout this world. We love you. We thank you for your word, for the opportunity to be within each other's lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen.